Hey, what's up, guys? It's Bryson here, back with Alonzo for another preview. The Patriots are playing the Dolphins this weekend. What is going on, Alonzo?
Hey, not much. Just getting into the groove of things. College, first week. It's pretty fun. Different. I like it.
Yeah, just wait till the end of the semester when you have four finals and they're all in back-to-back days and you've had 2 hours of sleep and you've bought 10 Red Bulls. And you don't know what the hell you're doing with your life and you want to drop out.
Yeah, I actually, like, that's happening in, what is it now, 3 months? So I can feel it. I can already see it. I can see myself just, like, dropping out or maybe killing myself right before a final.
That's definitely the way to go. You trying to avoid a final? Just off yourself.
My roommate's laughing at me for saying that right now.
Oh, man. I was just telling Alonzo off the record that I had a test and I had a really hard test and I was studied so hard for it. And the teacher ended up texting me and said, hey, congrats. You have the high score. I've graded half the test. So I walk into class and I am super pumped. And turns out there was two C's. I had one of the C's and the rest were F's. So I don't know what you can make of that. He said he's not curving a 75 to an A. So That's college for you, buddy.
I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
The real question is, did you bet on the prop bet that is Josh Gordon must smoke the football like a blunt and it must be done during the regular season? Will Josh Gordon do a puff, puff pass touchdown celebration? You can bet on this right now in my bookie.
I want the answer so badly to be yes. Just so badly.
You'll make a lot of money if you bet yes.
Yeah. It's like minus 600.
Yeah, it's plus 400. No, it's right, minus 600.
That's what I meant.
Someone's got inside information here. This is a weird bet.
It's a weird prop bet, you're right.
This is really weird.
Just imagine that happens and Belichick gets mad. Like, that happens after a 200-yard vintage Josh Gordon game and then Belichick gets mad and he cuts him.
But we all make like $1,000 because we put $5 on the yes, so we don't care. We hate it.
Yeah.
All right, man. So Bentley and Burkhead go to IR, and we absolutely hate this because Bentley, while a rookie, was our best linebacker, best cover linebacker, fastest linebacker, the best by far, I'd probably say. And Burkhead sucks too because obviously he's just a good player, and he can do a lot of things. But Bentley's going to hurt a lot worse, and we hate it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the casuals out there, shout out casuals, they're probably looking at Burkhead as a huge loss and just a bigger loss than Bentley. But really, when you look at the team, I mean, and how they were using their players, I think that Sony Michel was definitely kind of easing into that lead back role, where Burkhead was going to take a role – I would say pretty similar to what he was playing by the end of last year, just complimenting Michelle on early downs like he did with Dion. And I'm not saying it's ideal to lose him, because it's not. And I actually think Burkhead will be back at some point this season. But I am saying that it's not like a devastating loss for the offense by any means. He was probably the third most important back on the team at this point anyways. Bentley, like you said, Bentley really hurts because, I mean, the guy wore the green dot last week, and he has been, despite our reservations about him, probably the best linebacker on the team up to this point. And with him out, I guess there's no real suitable replacement for him unless Hightower gets back to his old form and just gets his legs under him. I do think they're moving Hightower back off the ball. We'll talk about why later. It'll be either Hightower or Van Noy, but it hurts. Both of them hurt, and it's nothing they can't overcome, I would say, but it's far from ideal.
It is definitely far from ideal, especially the way the Patriots have looked in the first couple of weeks and getting ready to play this Dolphins team, which is really fast. Like I just told you, they have two of the top 10 fastest players in the NFL on their team. The fastest track miles per hour anyway so far. Yeah. So we're going to need some fast players, and we don't really have that right now. And not having Bentley kind of hurts a little bit, especially in the middle of the field. But you will be pleased to know that the Patriots have signed John Simon, who is your boy. How do you feel about that?
I feel vindicated. I mean, I've been talking up John Simon to the Patriots for, God, I think it's been over 5 months now, easily. And I think he'll come in, he'll just provide a sturdy edge presence, kind of what we expected Derek Rivers to be, in that mold of a guy who can drop out in coverage, athletic on the edge, not a Adrian Claiborne, pin your ears back and rush, but more of a well-rounded player. I mean, I think if you consider Trey Flowers an edge, I think at this point, Simon might be our second and Hightower linebacker. Simon might be our second best edge player, which is, I mean, I don't know if it's as much an indictment on the other players as it is what, you know, a testament to what Simon can be in this defense. And he's a perfect fit. He was a perfect fit for Houston. You look at the Colts beat writers, what they say about him. He works his ass off. I love this move.
Yeah, I do too. And he's not the most athletic guy, but he still has pretty good measurables. He ran like a 6'1", a 7'1", a 6-cone, 3-cone, I mean, which Belichick would love, and runs like a 4.5 40. So he's a decently athletic guy, especially if you're going to play him like at an edge position, which he can do. He can do both. He can play outside linebacker and the edge. So he's pretty versatile. Yeah. We're going to like that. And I think once he learns a defense, it'll be pretty quick. He'll be one of the better defensive line players, like you just said.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I think that his signing is probably an indication that they're moving one of Hightower or Van Noy back off the ball, just for good.
Van Noy.
And one of them is going to wear the green dot. I mean, based on the way both guys have looked this year, I think you'd probably rather it be Van Noy. Right? Probably.
Yeah.
Van Noy's looked a lot more nimble than Hightower, who has looked everything but nimble in the first three games. But maybe with Hightower, it's just him knocking off rust, playing himself, getting his legs back under him, and he'll be good to go eventually. But still, one of those guys, I would assume, is going to wind up playing in the middle, just as the main linebacker, main communicator, sort of leader, helm of the defense role.
Yeah, for sure. And about Hightower, like, I know there was a quote about him knocking the rust off, but to me, when I just watch him, he not only is he not fast, he looks hesitant, and he's also, when he engages with players, he's not very powerful. Even if it's a back, you know, pen pass pro or a tackle, yeah, or when he engages, he's just not powerful either. And I think that's a lot worse than him looking slow to me. And that's why, I don't know, man. Knew him that, like, but yeah.
I guess so. But maybe look at this just as a point of comparison with Hightower. Do you remember how Gronk looked the first 4 weeks of 2014?
Right.
It was the same thing. He wasn't moving well. He seemed scared coming off the ACL. And then he got his legs back under him. And starting on from beyond the Cincinnati game on, he was tight end in the NFL. And Hightower maybe doesn't have to be everything he once was, but I think as long as he improves, and I think he will improve, the defense is going to be just way better off. And I think his upside in this defense, just as an improving player, I would guess is higher than that of Bentley, even if Bentley had just stayed healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we should be too somber about Hightower. I think it'll probably get better. Like you just said, he definitely looks hesitant. Maybe it'll get better. I don't think it'll be this bad all season. Let's just put it that way.
Right, exactly.
All right, so let's start off with the offense. As we all remember, the last time the Patriots played the Dolphins, it was that Monday Night Football game, and it was absolutely a train wreck. And I actually fell asleep during the game, and I don't fall asleep during
– I did too.
I don't fall asleep during, like, anything, and I fell asleep during this game, like, during probably at halftime, and woke up in the fourth quarter when the Patriots started to rally a little bit. I watched both of the Dolphins-Patriots games at home and away today. My big takeaway and the takeaway for this game is that one, Gronk wasn't there. And I think he was a big part of their plan in the first game. Gronk absolutely dominated them, especially in line, just getting behind the backers on play action and stuff like that. So even little stuff like that, because no one else in that game could create separation. We remember Xavier Howard absolutely fathering Cooks. That was terrible. But in the first game when Gronk played, New England dominated. I know Tannehill didn't play that game, but he didn't play the second game either. Cutler did. But as for the offense goes, I don't think I'm worried as much because Gronk's playing, and I think Gordon is going to play. So that's a lot better. I think the Patriots will try to spread him out a little bit and use Gordon in that way. I hope anyway, because I think it could be a very tough game if the Patriots, let's say, go two tight ends or two backs all game. And without Gordon and 11.
Well, I'll go the other way. I think that that's what they're going to do because I just don't see how they're going to trust Gordon, seeing as he's hurt and seeing as he just got here. And it'll be tough to really use him in a major way. I think certain sort of niche packages, we could see it, and I would love to see it. I'll be the first to I'm probably buying a Josh Gordon jersey. I don't even care. He'll probably be here for less than 12 weeks, but still, look, I want the guy to succeed. I think this week it's just asking way too much of him, and I'm very worried. I think the blueprint for how to defend New England has just been laid out plainly by both Jacksonville and by Detroit. If you just treat Gronk like a punt gunner and you put your top corner, which in Miami's case is Xavier Howard, who is all credit to him. He's turned into like an elite, high-end, top-of-the-top corner. And, I mean, if they put him on Hogan or Dorsett or just whatever side he's on, he's locked him down. And if they're doubling Gronk and they're treating him like Patricia treated him, where's Brady going with the ball? I can't get over that.
Yeah, definitely. That's my worry for the game as well. If Gordon doesn't play as much and you just have packages with Hogan, Dorsett, Dwayne Allen, and Gronk, and they just, like you just said, treat Gronk like a punt gunner and double him the whole way, it's going to be pretty tough. The key is probably Sony Michel running very well. If Sony Michel can run well, the Patriots can get some play action going. That would be extremely helpful. I mean, they rushed for 200 yards the first time they played them in 2017. Yeah. When Gronk played.
Yep. Yeah, Sony, look, now when they made the pick, it seemed like a luxury pick, but right now at this point he is one of the most important players on offense for this game. It's another game, like just basically the whole first month has been, and the whole first month was always going to be, where they can't fall behind. They can't get into a game where they're forced to use 11 extensively, and it just that starts, I think, with controlling the game offensively, and it's going to be hard to do that with the passing game and with the weapons or the lack thereof. And really the way I can see them doing it is with Michelle just having kind of a coming out party, and I think Michelle's going to be good. I don't hate what I've seen from him at all through the first two games. I think all the criticisms of him have been kind of overblown, but he does need to play better. And, you know, I think that's probably the key to it. He'll be all right. I think just this, I have a feeling, it's nothing more than a gut feeling that this is going to be his game.
Yeah, it could be, definitely. And Bobby McCain, TJ McDonald, these kind of guys. I mean, Kiko Alonso, those guys that you think are good, they've allowed like 206 yards to running backs in the receiving game. So definitely a James White game, in my opinion.
It is in theory, but at the same time, if you're putting James White out there, you're kind of telling it's going to be a pass.
Well, with Sony out there, you're telling it's going to be a run, sir.
Well,
take this two-edged sword, suck it.
I guess fair enough, but well, we can't be using like, we can't, like, I think it, with the personnel available to us, it's going to have to be about establishing the run. Just like in what other teams have done against the Dolphins, I feel like our personnel, at least right now, is just so limited that our game plan is going to have to be a little more unconventional in that way, where we can't necessarily attack their linebackers in the passing game, because that's like, if that plan fails, then all else is, we're fucked. We can't move the ball.
I mean, Xavier Howard, he's really good, but the other guys aren't very good. I mean, I don't really.
Well, I mean, Phil Dorsett's not very good.
I don't know. He's not that bad. I think that these guys on the outside for Miami are just not very good. If you watch a Raiders game last week, they're just not very good.
That's fair.
What I really wanted to see the Patriots do is just have Gordon come out there and have Miami deploy their light front and try to just run on them from 11. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that. So they're going to have to run the ball, like you just said, and I think they will be able to.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not really as optimistic, but we'll see. The X factor is going to be Gordon for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I just made a smoking sound for those of you who didn't get that joke. Yeah, but Gordon and also time of possession. Like, the Patriots aren't going to win a game where they have the ball for 20 fucking minutes at any point. Unless this is a 2011-12 Patriots, they are not winning a game when they have the ball for 20 minutes. So the Patriots definitely need to move the ball, keep the clock going, because I have a feeling that Miami's going to string together a couple of pretty long drives. And if the Patriots are just going three and out, before you know it, they're down 10-0 and they're passing the ball in the third quarter. And it's going to be hard, especially if Gordon doesn't play.
Yeah. Or even if Gordon could play, but he could still be the third guy in 11, right? Like, maybe, I guess, on some packages where he's the single wide receiver, but it's going to be hard for him to get a grip with the game plan and just get a hold of everything. Apparently, it hasn't been an issue so far, the mental side of it. But still, it's like you're playing a dangerous game counting on him. And like, let me just throw out the caveat. I think he's going to be very good this year. Like, I'm a Josh Gordon believer. I think his talent's going to just wind up winning out in the end. But we just got him 2 weeks ago. It might be tough to ask of him to really give a significant, like, full workload type game, at least this early on in his tenure.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Josh Gordon went for a 150 drunken high against Aqib Talib.
Fair.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, he was practicing. He was doing individual and team drills today, so I guess that's kind of encouraging. He's not off to the side rehabbing, so he's a little bit better. But you know, we'll just see if he can play, or even play 20 snaps. That'd be really great.
Yeah, and like, yeah, exactly. That would be really great, and I think eventually that those 20 snaps will be 45, 50.
Right.
But right now, it's just, boy, it's tough. And I'll say this. This is kind of if there's any con, I guess, to Tom Brady, is that he is not the same type of just DGAF, I'm throwing it up to Gordon, like a Jason Campbell or a Brandon Whedon, or even a Hoyer from Gordon's time in Cleveland. Like, I think Brady, or Gordon, I should say, is just going to have to earn his trust progressively. And Brady, I think, at some point, will see the talent and he'll see that he can do that. But it's a tough ask, 12 days into his tenure as a Patriot?
Yeah, it definitely is. I want to see Brady go DJF, definitely, though.
Yes.
I want to see him wing it up to Josh Gordon. Wing it up there.
For sure. Like, that, did you watch?
That's just not him.
Exactly. Right. And if he does go with someone he trusts, But did you watch last week's game? Like, it couldn't have been much worse. Just chucking it to Gordon with three guys on him, to be honest.
You know, I really wanted to put the Thug Life, the Thug Life sunglasses and music on Tom Brady after he just fucking heaved that throw to Philip Dorsett. It was just like, what, bitch? You want, what else do you want me to do? I'm fucking and chucking a Dorsett. Someone make a play.
Yeah, that, I think that, if anything, was a statement throw. Like, hey, fuck you. You gave me Philip Dorsett as my number maybe one receiver for a month. Fuck you, Bill.
You know, my favorite thing, and this is a 2013 classic, my favorite thing of games where the Patriots receivers just aren't getting open is when you see Tom Brady drop back and his shoulder dips to his fucking hips, and you know he's about to let one fly. Nothing good comes out of it. Nothing good. And the funniest part about that is there was a Belichick quote about Tom Brady throwing that pick, because that pick he threw towards Dorsett. Belichick said something like, Brady, you've thrown I don't know how many interceptions, 80% of them or something like that have come from that throw. Like, just berating Brady for that specific throw. But that's the funniest part about that game, is just watching Brady dip to his hips and fucking chucking, and you just knew nothing was gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, do we agree the Patriots are gonna be good this year? Like, when it's all said and done?
Yeah, they'll be good.
Yes. Okay. So when will it come? I don't know. That's my caveat to everything. Like, they will be good. When? Maybe it's as soon as Edelman comes back. Edelman has been, I tweeted out or retweeted a couple stats that ESPN had tweeted when he got hurt last year. And Edelman, from 2013 to 2016, the splits with him, active and inactive, had just been on another level. Like, it had been Brady turns into a pedestrian quarterback without Edelman. And with Edelman, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. And then they acquire Cooks, and Edelman's hurt, so the loss isn't felt quite as much. But now, no Amendola, no Cooks, and Brady doesn't have that security blanket. I think it changes everything when he's back. But this week, obviously, he's not back, and they'll have to piece it together.
Yeah, I'm almost looking ahead to Thursday. Like, I've been thinking about next Thursday for like 3 days now.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Okay. Thought you cut out.
I was just saying, I've been waiting for Thursday for like a week now.
Yeah.
Like, all I can think about is Thursday. Like, I know the Dolphins are playing, but like, I just can't wait for Julian Edelman to get back.
No, I'm with you. And it sucks because, like, this game, in the grand scheme of things, it's a week four game, granted, but it matters. Like, the Dolphins are two games up on us. They win this week, and they are three games ahead of us, four games into the season, with a half-game tiebreaker because of the head-to-head. Like, that is not what you want.
You really hate to see that. You just really hate to see that.
Absolutely.
All right, Alonzo, now we can talk about the defense. And I just want to fix the defense with, like, four moves. So I've got, like, four things to fix the defense. I know it looks bad and Hightower looks like a nose tackle, but let's just try to fix the defense real quick. So, number one, please move Adrian Claiborne inside. They did it a couple times, but this man is not fit for the edge. He's just not. He just rushes past the quarterback. He allows the edge to not be set. We're playing Ryan Tannehill, is an excellent athlete. He will run at any chance you give him the edge. Move Claiborne inside where he can bull rush. He's really strong. Just do that. Like you said earlier, Hightower to edge. I don't think we really have to talk about it anymore. Just give the big guy a little chance to knock some rust off. Put him at the edge. And also, I don't care, Chung the linebacker. He has similar measurables to Deion Jones. He's not that small. I think he benched 225 like 30 times. Like, this guy is strong. He can get off blocks. He plays linebacker a whole lot. Let's just put him at linebacker with Kyle Van Noy full time. Stop screwing around. And also, J-Mac outside full time.
I mean, I agree with all those things. Just that's the first thing. Well, do I think we see them? Nah. So, I mean, yeah. Hightower to Edge, maybe. Like, they've done that before. But I would be just as surprised moving Hightower to Edge as I would be keeping him off ball and just in the middle full time. Like, nothing would surprise me with what they do there. So, I mean, yeah. But, Claiborne, you're right. He's not an Edge player for this system. He's not a bad player. Like, don't get us wrong. I think he'll still he still provides a pass rush jolt, and he's still very useful, and he's something that he makes the defense better, right? Just as a whole, as a unit. He's just not an early down player, and he's not ideally an edge rusher because he struggles with contain. He struggles rushing past the quarterback. Belichick today went on a mini rant in his press conference about guys not being able to do anything when they rush past the quarterback, which I thought was pretty funny and like a mini shot at Claiborne. But Claiborne inside, it just plays to his strengths. You're right about that. And Chung, the linebacker, I guess I'm on board, but he basically plays like a pseudo. So linebacker, it sucks. Like, we're stuck with what we have, in my opinion. They did nothing to address it besides draft one player in the fifth and one player in the sixth round. And they hit luckily on one of those players. And now he's hurt. So unless there's a trade coming, which you love Deion Buchanan, I'll give you the floor. But unless there's a trade coming, they're stuck with what they have. And it's not what you want to see, because we've seen the limitations of just being slow as hell on the second level. The best offenses are going to carve you.
Yeah, and on Deion, the thing about that is his salary hit is like $8.4 million. And he's got his fifth-year option. So, and the Patriots have $3.5 million. And thank goodness they didn't cut Dwayne Allen in the offseason, because he's looking really valuable at 10 snaps per game, guys. Looking really valuable. So, We pounded the table for cutting guys like this in the offseason, because you never know when you're going to need a trade like this. And now we're here, and I just can't – like, what are you going to dump off Patterson to someone? Like, who would want Patterson? That, like, I just don't see a move you could make.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Patterson vested and Dwayne Allen vested? So, like, if you cut him, yeah. I don't know if you clear the room.
You don't.
Associated with it. So,
nope.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, you never know when you're going to need it. They clearly need it. And now they're basically limited to just trading for guys on rookie contracts.
Oh, man. And also, do you think we see any Nick Grigsby this week?
I don't know if it'll be this week. It makes sense that it would be this week, just seeing as they're probably going to be looking for a spark. But I do think we see some Nick Grigsby eventually, just in the middle of that defense. Belichick cannot be so blind as to not see that they need like a real speed infusion on the second level. And Grigsby, yeah. If anything, he's just fast. And he looked good at linebacker in the preseason. Like, he looked better than our ex-boy Marquise Flowers during the preseason on defense. So Grigsby, linebacker, yes, eventually. This week, maybe not.
Oh, we hate to see that, because the thing about the Dolphins is Adam Gase is, like Belichick, I think, said he's a game plan coach. So he's going to do what the Patriots do, and opponent by opponent, and he's going to dissect what they do really bad. And I don't know, but I think there's a great chance he's probably watched the past two games. So the last time, the Monday Night Football game with Cutler, what they did was they just spread the Patriots out. If you remember, Landon Roberts was on an island various times. On
Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, yes. they ran rub routes. They punished the Patriots horizontally in ways teams like the Jaguars and the Chiefs, teams like that did. And Adam Gase saw that last year. I can't imagine he's going to change his mind. I'd imagine he's going to do a lot of the same stuff. But the thing about this year is, I don't think the Dolphins' running game is as good, but I don't know if that matters because the Patriots' run defense is absolutely horrendous right now. So I can just see the Dolphins coming out in 11 and just being able to run the ball out of shotgun and spread out all day long. And if the Patriots can't stop the run from there, they're in for a long day because it's just going to be – they're just going to nickel and dime all night long. And that's what they did last time in Monday Night Football.
Yeah. The Dolphins' offense. They're fast. They're going to be a handful. Just plain and simple. You know who leads them in targets? Fun fact.
Jakeem Grant.
Jakeem Grant.
Yeah. One of the fastest dudes in the NFL.
And if you know he's the guy that mossed Malcolm Butler last year. If you know anything about Jakeem Grant, he's like a poor man's Tyreek Hill without the domestic violence. So
he really is.
And maybe kind of like a Corey Grant type too. I'm sorry. The way this defense, and let's be fair here, the defense last year, that Monday night game, was in way worse shape than it is now, right? They were without Van Noy. They were without Trey Flowers. Marquise Flowers was wearing the green dot and setting the edge.
Trevor Riley was playing.
Trevor Riley was playing real snaps. Jonathan Freeney made his 1 week cameo on the defense. Like, the defense was in worse shape last year for that Monday night game than it is now. Now, that being said, the Dolphins offense is also better now than it was then. And the Patriots offense has not been one to instill really any confidence right now. But you look at the Dolphins target distribution, and almost every week we play any team, we say, okay, take away Hopkins, right? Double team him. Try to take away Marvin Jones with Gilmore and double Holiday and double Galladay, or maybe double Jones and put Gilmore on Galladay and whatever. This week, like, Jakeem Grant leads their team with 14 targets. Amendola and Kenny Stills have 13 targets. Kenyon Drake, 12 targets. Albert Wilson, 11 targets. There's no one you can key on. There's no particular thing. And the real issue is that they do things that make it difficult for our defense. They do those things. They ran those little touch passes that stretch the defense horizontally. They've run those with Albert Wilson, with so how they keep up with this team's speed, I guess, I'll believe it when I see it that they can do it. So how confident am I right now? I don't know. But I won't be confident until they do it. Could they do it this week? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And just like you said, the distribution of targets, similar to the Jags, similar to the Lions. I mean, it's going to be a really, really tough game. The Dolphins are going to really challenge them. And if they win, this is a big game. The Patriots win and win handily against this offense. That is pretty huge. Also, fun fact, the last three games the Patriots have played at Gillette, 34-16 average score.
Against Miami?
Yep.
Huh. Well, let's hope for more of that, but do I see any way that happens? No. Just no. Unless Tannehill turns into, I was going to say Blake Bortles, but if he turned into Blake Bortles, that would be horrible news for us.
If he's Blake Bortles, we're fucked.
If he's Blake Bortles, we are fucked. So I guess unless Tannehill turns into Dante Hightower running the read option or something, I don't see how we hold this team to under 24 points. It's going to be a really difficult game. I'm picking them to lose.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the thing like we were talking about earlier, the time of possession, like if the Patriots keep going three and out and you've got Jason McCourty chasing Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant all day long, like that could be pretty bad.
Like, all right. I wanted to pick him to lose against Jacksonville. You know this. I told you to bet against, or I told you to pick it for that week. I didn't have the courage to do it. Hopefully, I'm a little reverse jinx, but I'm like I've said, I just don't see it, man. I've seen a bad team for the last 2 weeks, and how they write that ship, I guess getting players back, I guess getting Edelman back will change the offense, integrating Gordon. But you know what? I don't think they won't get Edelman back this week. I don't think Gordon's a major factor this week. So then what are you left with? It's just hard. It's hard for me to see a roadmap to them having any success offensively as long as the Dolphins coaches have just watched the last two games. Like, it's not hard to scheme against the Pats offense. Brady trusts two players, maybe, that can create for themselves. He kind of trusts Hogan, but Hogan cannot create for Hogan, and Dorsett cannot create for Dorsett, and Patterson is a documented idiot. Like, I just think this offense is lacking in firepower. I think when Edelman and Gordon are back, they won't be. I think they'll be fine in the long term, but I do think we see some spicy dynasty dead, 1-3, three games back in the division, that type of hot takery after the game.
Yeah, and also Patterson's on the books for like 3.5 mil, and if the Patriots didn't expect him to be a gunner, and they just expected
what
him,
is the point exactly? Well,
if they traded for him and they expected him to return some kicks, which I might add, and his offense has been terrible at best. So that's worth 3.5 mil. So, okay, let me get this straight. Cordell Patterson, worth 3.5 mil. Dwayne Allen, haircut, 3.8 mil. You're paying 7.3 mil for Dwayne Allen and Cordell Patterson.
Danny Amendola, 6 mil. I don't know. You tell
that's
me.
That's awful.
Who would you rather have?
It's awful.
This is one of Bill the GM's worst decisions. I mean, you're paying those guys 7.3, and I'll eat crow on the Brandon Cooks trade. Like, I agree with the premise of trading him for a sustainable piece because he was not going to be here long term, but they just did a horrendous job trying to replace him.
Yeah, they did, and then Julian Edelman was framed for PED, so that was even worse.
Yep.
You know, if our boy Isaiah wasn't as healthy, he'd be man in the right tackle position.
Nothing would be well. And Philip Dorsett would suddenly get separation.
He would. Isaiah Wynn really has that effect on people.
It's a Marcus Cannon Ewing theory.
Actually, I'm going to look into that.
their problems are just that. I'm sorry, man. Last year, they go into training camp, and I'm not going to take credit for this line of thinking. I heard it on Quick Slants. But they go into training camp. Their top three receivers are Julian Edelman, Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola. Malcolm Mitchell's probably the fourth guy in terms of talent, in terms of guy you want to be out there. Hogan's a very great luxury item fifth. They have one of those guys on the team right now. One. Edelman will be back from suspension, but they've just lost so much talent at receiver. Like, I remember thinking legitimately that last year's offense with Edelman would have been a historically great offense. And he would have been last year kind of icing on the cake for that offense. This year, he's coming off an ACL surgery. He's 32, and he's expected to just be the savior.
Yeah, pretty much everyone died in training camp or before. Jordan Matthews died. Kenny Britt is dead, for all we know. Who else? There was the Riley McCarron era. That was fun.
Oh, my God.
Cordero Patterson.
Still stupid.
Yeah, where Jacob Hollister's hurt. And
Jacob Hollister's basically a Burkhead. Yeah. He was he was made out of the same fabric as Burkhead. Every time, I swear, man, every time Jacob Allister gets hit, he's like grabbing his shoulder.
Maybe we should call up his twin brother, Cody. Maybe his genetics are a little bit better.
Nah, he had back surgery and he's out for the season. So even him. Like, it's a just a frail family.
You know, the sad thing about this offense is that Martellus Bennett had a really funny, like, NFL retirement home video where he was just joking about coming back and playing. And I was like, ooh, that sounds good because the Patriots really suck right now. I could really use Martellus Bennett. That's how bad the Patriots offense is.
When we're trying to get a tight end to come out of retirement to help in 12 personnel when we're already paying a tight end $3.8 million to be a guy in 12 personnel next to Gronk. Just love to see it.
Yeah, and on half the snaps, Dwayne Allen is like in a formation where it's really hard for someone that slow to block other players. And so you just wonder what's going on. Like, what are we doing with Dwayne Allen? I love complaining about Dwayne Allen every week. Actually, it's really therapeutic. Because I just watched the Miami game, like I was saying. The pass where he caught in the flat where he looked like a statue.
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah. Vince Wilfork is way nimbler than Dwayne Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insulting to Wilfork. I was at the Charger game when he almost took a pick back to the house. Right before. So, yeah, my apologies to Vince. Vince is a significantly better athlete than Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen provides nothing of value to this team, legitimately nothing. I mean, if you're paying a guy $3.8 million, as they are Dwayne Allen, and you were coming into camp thinking that a rookie seventh-round pick might replace him, and Ryan Izzo, like, maybe you shouldn't be paying that guy $3.8 million. That's just a thought. I don't know.
He just the way he blocks the gap down backer once every 15 snaps is just you just can't put a price tag on it.
the locker room, the chemistry.
Dwayne Allen, key to Super Bowls, written in Lombardi's book.
Exactly, gridiron genius. There should be a chapter dedicated to paying Dwayne Allen and guys just of that ilk. He is terrible.
Alonzo, we just really hate it. And as for me, I predict that the Patriots, it's going to be a Chargers 2014-15-esque game. It's going to be one of those. It's not going to be low scoring, but it'll be 27-24 Patriots.
Oh,
Patriots sneak out of there. Patriots sneak out. All right.
How are they getting to 27? I see a Patterson kick return for a touchdown that gets us excited for like a minute on Twitter till we remember it's going to happen never again this season.
All right, I take it back. Patriots 23-20.
Okay. This offense getting the 23 points, it's going to come off a turnover from the defense, a special teams touchdown, and then just like one field goal or a couple field goal drives just sprinkled in there.
Yeah, I could just name all the teams in the NFL that I'm more confident in their offense. Like, Mitch Trubisky's offense. Like, I'm more confident in that more offense.
Yes, no doubt. I am more confident on a week-to-week basis right now in Blake Bortles than I am in this offense.
Well, the bad news for Blake is he's not playing the Patriots every week because I bet heavy on Blake and he lost me some money.
Oh boy. You went against your Titans.
9-6, you fuckface. 9-6. Six Titans. Fucking points, Blake. Are you kidding me? Six fucking points.
This Titans team... a sneaky 2-1 Titans. Sneaky. Stealth.
Titans. Better roster than the Patriots. Trying to be the Patriots, we hate it.
Better roster than the Patriots. Maybe. Speaking of actually ex-Titans, Rishard Matthews.
Not ever going to be a Patriot. Like, never.
Really?
Nope.
Why?
You just said it. Titans. He's friends with Robinson.
But the Patriots wanted him.
Yeah, but the way this, I'm thinking the way this ended and the way Rashard left the team, Belichick is not going to pick up Rashard Matthews.
Traded a fifth rounder for Josh Gordon.
I know. I'm just saying. Robinson is his boy, and Rashard did him wrong. And I don't think it's going to happen. And it should. And by the way, they brought in what's his face name for the from Raven. Yeah. Ew.
That's awful. I would rather die.
Yeah.
I would rather die.
No thanks.
I would rather die.
I'd rather.
One of my best friends is a Ravens fan, and for the last, what is it now, 3 years, he's complained about Rashad Perriman at least once every Sunday. He is like their Dwayne Allen, except they spent the first round pick on him.
You know, I just really would like to rather see Cyrus Jones line up at wide receiver than Perriman.
Seriously, yes. Cyrus Jones probably has better hands than Perriman. Jeremy Curley, though, maybe?
Yes. Eh. Jeremy Curley, not bad. Patriot killer.
Scott Chandler-esque. And you know what? When they get out of this week, hopefully, like we're praying for this, they will have at receiver Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, and Cordero Patterson. Like, it could be worse.
Yeah.
Currently.
It can't be worse. Yeah.
It can't be worse. Right? But once everyone's back, theoretically, this offense is going to be fucking gangbusters.
That's the hope. But you just said it can't get worse. And now I'm just imagining a Mike Reese tweet where Matthew Slater enters the game because Phil Dorsett and Chris Hogan are hurt.
No.
John Jones has entered the game.
Kenyon Barner is lining up in the slot.
Oh my God. In all seriousness, the thing that I questioned about the Patriots is how come the Patriots just have struggled to run block the past couple weeks? I know Trent Brown hasn't been very good, but even other players that are usually pretty good haven't been very good. And this is the same.
Yeah, if you remember
last year, they were the same exact way. They were just not very good running the ball. And it's just weird. Like, because they have, it seems like they have the players to run the ball, but I guess they just don't.
Skarnecki, system coach.
Oh, man.
Nah, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The best coach on the team.
Oh, you're right about that. No, but just being serious about it, I just think it's September, and I think guys really are knocking off the rust. Just there are legitimate things to be concerned about long-term with this team. Like if we play Kansas City in the playoffs, it'll be another Super Bowl 52, and it'll just come down to, I guess, who has the ball last, maybe. And look, there are just some teams that we will not be able to beat. But I think that those concerns are valid. Concerns over like offensive line, even I guess to an extent, receivers with the top guys coming back. Those questions, I think you can kind of avoid. Eventually they'll be fine. But the real ones are going to stay the real ones. There's no quick fix. It's incredible that they did nothing to add speed to this defense. Nothing. Not one thing. they added better players at spots where they needed them. I think Danny Shelton's better than Allen Branch. I think Claiborne and Davis, they're upgrades, I guess, on Eric Lee and Cassius Marsh and whatnot. Dietrich Wise does look better, but they didn't add speed. And you look like, imagine if they played the Rams right now. Like, how would that look?
I have a theory on this.
Go for it.
So on GM Street, Lombardi was talking about how after the Super Bowl, a Patriots assistant coach called him and was just like, what the fuck just happened?
What the fuck just happened?
So did the Patriots just like think that this was some crazy aberration? Like, they just thought the Super Bowl was like some weird aberration because the rest of the season, I don't know. Like, I really don't know. I'd like to almost hope so because, I don't know how you could have watched that team and not thought this team really needs speed. Like, I guess they just, yeah. I mean, with the moves they made, it looks like, well, our front wasn't very good. We need to upgrade on the edge and the interior, and they did that, but
yeah.
But I don't know, man.
Like, imagine if they had drafted Darius Leonard, the guy from Indy, who's been an elite linebacker for them through three games. Imagine they draft him. Imagine they draft Fred Warner from BYU, plays for the Niners now.
Are they 260?
What? No, they're like nimble players. They're like modern NFL linebackers. And now, they're not fucking throwing the Landon Roberts out there.
Oh, man. So you're okay. Hold on. This is wild. So you're telling me that when you draft a linebacker, you don't sit him on a scale and he definitely has to be 260?
I have some news for you, Bryson.
You like prototypical thumper.
When I read that and Bentley wound up hitting, like, I think he'll be something here for a while. When I read that Bentley was a prototypical thumper, you can go back and listen to the pod. I think it's on Bumpers. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to die. Okay? I wanted to die. Like, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch it? Are you kidding me? Like, imagine watching that game and your takeaway being they need a thumper. They need Brandon Spikes.
We need to thump some guys. We just really need to thump the fuck out of people. I know that offenses are becoming extremely explosive and the run game is like not even barely important anymore, but let's just thump the fuck out of people.
People are running out of 11, they're throwing out of base sets. Yeah, we need a 270-pound middle linebacker.
We're gonna fucking set zig.
The physical tone.
We're gonna zig. You watch, guys. Everyone's zagging. Everyone thinks they're cool with all these air raid high school offenses, but you just watch out. We've got the next 280-pound cool. linebacker. We're gonna thump
everyone
the fuck
thinks they're
out
cool
of you.
Using receivers in creative ways and getting them on matchups with linebackers. Well, you watch this. Watch this. Watch Jawan Bentley covering Cooper Kupp down the seam. What? What?
It won't feel so good. Whenever you run that one set out of 22 personnel with an extra offensive lineman, and you're just with the fullback and you got two tight ends, and you're thinking that you're definitely going to run the ball in our thumper that one snap a game? No, you thought wrong, bitch. We're thumping the fuck out of you. That's that.
Our base defense is a goal line defense. We started four linebackers last week, bro, and none of them can cover. None. Not
you
even
know,
one.
I'm
it's
at
incredible.
The, I'm at the point right now, if I was watching the game and all of a sudden Danny Shelton just stood up, backed off the line 5 yards and played backer, I'd be like, why not?
Can't be worse.
Why not?
Can't be worse. Going Patricia. Going full Patricia.
You know, I don't know if you listened to the end of the last podcast, but Boris said that Belichick was holding Patricia back. In our minds, we're thinking that Matt Patricia was one who wanted to drop Trey Flowers in coverage, but Matt Patricia was actually the one arguing with Bill over dropping Trey Flowers in coverage.
You know what? I'm sorry. Dealing with a little bit of a cold here. At least we haven't had the Trey Flowers dropping 25 yards into coverage this year. I think at that point I might have broken something.
Disgusting. Just disgusting.
It really is. It really is. You know what? I can't wait for Thursday. This game.
Woo!
This game on Sunday, I've almost like I've almost given up on it. I mean, really.
Let's go, boys.
I mean, I'm ready to do a Colts preview pod right now.
Like I said, I've been thinking about it. There's nothing like Thursday night games. Like, the games I remember most are Thursday night games.
What?
Yeah, I do. I love Thursday. Like, when the Patriots play on Thursday night, I don't know why. Well, a couple years ago, like more than a couple years ago, damn, I'm getting old, when the Patriots played the Texans, was that a Monday night game? The Letterman Jacket game?
Letterman Jackets was Monday night, and then
awesome.
Thursday night was Jacoby Brissett.
Right. See, that's just, I don't know. I love Thursday night games for some reason. I think they're so fun. Like, just having your team play on Thursday, it's just, I don't know. It's cool. It's dope to me.
I feel you. I feel you that they're playing on Thursday. It's cool. But you're also not seeing them Sunday. I guess Sunday you can watch Red Zone or you can watch other games.
I get so stressed out on Sunday, though. Like, I can't focus because I'm trying to watch other games and I'm degenerately gambling on all these other games. And I'm by the time the Patriots get in, I'm pissed off because I fucked up some way or another on a 700 team parlay. But no, I don't know. When it's your team, it's the only team playing, like, it's the best.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Sunday night games, though, I could do without Sunday night games.
Yeah, Sunday night games suck.
It's just so stressful. The lead up to it, the everything about it, it's just like, you know, it's an event. So that part's cool, but ugh, man, waiting for it is just brutal.
I might just drive up. I might just get at this game. I'm just going.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just going.
Ooh.
I'm getting out of here. I'm just going to leave. I just want to see the Patriots play. The problem is the tickets are probably $1,000 a pop.
I just saw Bob. I'm watching right now on Condensed, the Pats-Lions game. I just saw LeGarrette Blount catch a pass in the flat. Looks smoother than Sony Michel.
You know what? Why didn't we use LeGarrette Blount like that?
I don't think he's like Blount. I guess we could use him now, but I still don't think he's particularly good. Nah. Malcolm Brown is a disgrace.
You know, Malcolm Brown. You know, a player that we could have used, Lane and Collins, drafted two picks after Malcolm Brown. The funniest part is all the gloating that we did. I did to the Colts. Was that the Dorsett draft?
That was the Dorsett pick. Yeah,
they took Dorsett. We took Malcolm Brown, and then
I still feel the same way about it, though. Just in hindsight, like, I don't think Malcolm Brown played poorly. Whatever, he's been a meh interior defensive lineman for us. I mean, the Colts could use one of those.
at that point.
Like, I think the Colts still definitely made the wrong pick. The Pats, you could go through every draft, and even drafts where the Pats have gotten good players, and look at guys taken after them. Like, you could go to the Antonio Brown draft. You could go to the Brady draft, obviously. Just go to the Brown draft and say, oh, fuck. We took Taylor Price in the third. Could have gotten Antonio Brown. Well, yeah, but Antonio Brown wasn't projected to go there. Like, just that thing, like, passing up one player for another it's tough. It's a tough way to evaluate it, I think.
Not when I'm a fan, Alonzo. Not when I can see Landon Collins two picks after Malcolm Brown. It makes me sad.
Sony Michel just got a pass in the flat and got tackled by a defensive end. Couldn't make a miss.
You're going to say that a lot. You're going to say that a lot. We love it. I can't wait to see more of that.
All right. One last question. What did you think about the Gronk brother interview?
First of all, I just want to say I just looked on Belichick's Wikipedia page, and Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady are the proud owners of Bill Belichick. Because Gronk vetoed the trade. That's number one. And also, yeah, Chris, I think he was just, from what I know, I didn't hear the interview. He was just kind of pushed into talking about this, and he just did. And Gronk wasn't very happy about it, but it doesn't really bother me. But the Gronk talking about the trade is even weirder than that after the game when they asked about him. It's usually something that Gronk would just say, you know, no comment or something, but he didn't, and he acknowledged it, and thus him owning Belichick even more, which we just love. You just love to see Belichick try to trade Rob Gronkowski and Brandon Cooks in the same offseason, and Gronk vetoes it. I love that.
You're right about that. It's just Gronk flexing, man. Like, seriously, what's Belichick gonna do right now? Is he gonna bench Gronk? Like, good luck with that.
I want to see, like, those little visors that Belichick wears. Like, I want to see Gronk just run up to him and, like, pull his visor over his head or do something really wild.
Just rub his visor on his dick. Just rub it on his crotch. Give it to Bill. Like, hey, Bill. Yeah.
We love it, Gronk. We just absolutely love it. Gronk and Brady owning Bill. Love it.
Bill Kraft not saying hi to Bill or vice versa in the hallways.
That's the weird. For anyone who hasn't heard about Ian O'Connor's, that was a book, right? That was in the book.
It was a book, yeah.
Yeah, it's just about Bill and Kraft just walk by each other in the hall and don't even look at each other, don't even say hi. Can you imagine? Like, I don't know if you've ever had a job, but I cannot ever imagine a job where I walk past my boss and we don't say hi to each other. Like, and every time
a boss that you've had for, what, 18 years?
19, yeah, 19, whatever. 19 years. How many years? And also, the other thing about that is the interesting part about Kraft talking about everyone needs to get their egos in check. And he's clearly not talking about Tom Brady. He's clearly not talking about Tom Brady.
Are we sure?
Nope. He's not talking about Tom Brady.
All right. But Tom Brady, his attitude. Like, come on. Get in gear. Seriously.
Come on.
I fucking love, like, I love Tom Brady more than I love most of the members of my family. At least immediate family, I love you. Because you're probably the only ones listening to this. But I love Tom Brady more than most everyone in my extended family. And even I'm, like, this year, the shit he's been saying, shit he's been doing, the way he's been acting.
He's grumpy.
He's grumpy. He's a grumpy old man. I guess it's human nature when you have bums on there. You're just throwing the bums for 4 weeks and you're 41 and you don't have the patience for it. But come on, man. He looks miserable.
Yeah. Do you really blame him not going to OTAs now? Do you really blame him? Do you really blame him? Do you? I mean, he'd have Tom Brady not going to OTAs. He'd have to go every day and watch Stephon Gilmore and Eric Rowe absolutely demolish Chris Hogan and Phil Dorsett. Like, what kind of day is that? You just walk home every day, Belichick's up your ass, and yeah, fuck that. I wouldn't go either. Good job, Tom.
I'm right with you there, but at least for the games, like, he looked disinterested last week.
Yeah, he is not happy. He is not happy, that is for sure.
You think he could actually leave?
You know,
it's been floated around way too much for us to just ignore. Like, Curran said it, O'Connor said it, the person that wrote the book about the NFL just as a whole also said it. That Brady, if he had been let out of his contract this offseason, would have explored other teams. So, like, is that an option? Like, is that conceivable?
I don't know. I really don't know if it is now. I don't know if Tom Brady, after this season, would want to play for another team. But, man, I can definitely see where Tom would leave after this past season, after everything that happened.
2019?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if he – but still, man, like, he's a 43-year-old quarterback. Imagine just – picking up your shit and saying, like, all right, yeah, I'm moving. I'm 43 and I'm moving for the last 2 years of my career. I feel like that's
what if the Bears called and say, hey, Tom Brady, you want to win a Super Bowl? Because he would win a Super Bowl with the Bears. Like, if Tom Brady was on the Bears this year,
they're winning the Super Bowl. Yeah.
They don't lose a game.
Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky, by the way, Like, I think the issue with our team is that the rest of the offense, besides Brady and Gronk and some of the linemen, they're just, and White, they're just Mitchell Trubisky type of caliber players. Bums, essentially.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically, you're correct. All right, man. We hate it, but also our Pats getting a win Sunday and Thursday, so that we love. And to everyone, we'll be back after the Pats win, and Alonzo will weep about this Pats win, and Phil Dorsett going for 6 for 100. He'll absolutely weep.
Brett Pats, shout out Brett Pats, making his title talk debut next pod.
Brett Pats, you know, what was that? What was that? What did that shirt, that Brett Pats shirt, say? Did you see it?
What? No.
It said, "I stand with Brett Pats," because of the trial hearing where it said, "I stand for Brett." I can't pronounce his last name. The
Kavanaugh.
The Supreme Court. Yeah. I stand with Brett Pats. We need to make those shirts.
Yes. Yes. I stand with Brett Pats. Title talk. Let's go.
Yep. We're ready for it. All right, buddy. I will see you later. Go Pats. Fuck you, Dwayne Allen and Bill Belichick.
Josh Gordon, we love you.
Love you. Later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.